The benefits of a strong employer brand include lower employee turnover, lower cost per hire, and increased job consideration by top talent. To do it successfully, you need the right tools, skills, and knowledge. To shed some insight on this, I've spoken to Klas Peyron of our gracious sponsors, the Employer Branding Academy. Hejsan svejsan, how's it going? You've tuned in to the Link Humans podcast hosted by me, Jorgen Sundberg, and this podcast is where I speak to people in organizations that link humans with innovation and technology. It's September 2016, and are you keen on a nice day out in London in November? Still a perfect time for a shopping trip, I think. I got just a ticket for you. It's called SM London Live 2016 for the third year running. Our full day event is returning. We'll be welcoming 10 of the best social and digital speakers to fill you with tips, tricks and takeaways. And this is happening on Wednesday, the 9th of November at Bounce in Holborn, which is the home of ping pong. And we're just about to announce more speakers, from your favorite social networks to a couple of very cool brands doing innovative stuff. We make sure to get the best minds in the business up on our stage. And now, of course, the important bit. Do you want to come to our biggest event yet? The 30% savings on our super early bird tickets is actually running out this week, so by Friday the 9th of September. So get booking now, or you might have to fork out the full price. So go to socialmedialondon.co.uk to get that, and I hope to see you on the 9th of November. P.S. Keep this shtum, but use the promo code PODCAST for a further 10% discount. Great. With that, it's time to patch in Stockholm, Sweden for this week's interview. Hey, son, Klas Peyron.
Hi, Jorgen.
How are you doing?
I'm very good today, thank you.
Great. Tell us about the Employer Branding Academy and what you do there.
Employer Branding Academy is a company owned by Universum, the global leader in employer branding. And what we do is that we offer training in employer branding to HR, marketing, and communication professionals. We have two different offers, two different products, with a very humble names, World Class Employer Branding and World Class Recruitment Marketing. Both of these products are offered in either a blended format, including face-to-face meetings and e-learning, or as pure e-learning. The courses typically take around 8 weeks to complete and are designed to allow the participants to study in parallel with their day-to-day jobs. And at the end of the completed course, the participants also get a certification. We've been doing this for about 2.5 years now, and the reviews from our previous participants have been very, very good, very positive. So we're very happy about that. And just recently, we also got approved by the HRCI, so the HR Certification Institute, which means that participants can earn credits when taking our courses as well.
Great. And what was your journey to heading up this academy?
Well, I've been with Universum for about 5 years now. I started out as the head of the Nordic and Eastern European region. I then had spent a couple of years as head of the Swedish market, plus my most fancy role, perhaps, which was global head of insight, which is all about trying to make use of Universum's data, in this case, all the research that the company does, and then predict the future. Basically, look into the future and see where the world is heading when it comes to talent. The result was books and white papers and other things that came out of that. And a couple of years ago, I added to this the CEO role for Employer Branding Academy as well.
Great. Okay. And let's start with the big question. Why do we need employer branding?
Yeah, that is a big question, isn't it? Well, a few reasons why we need it today and why we probably will need it even more in the future. And that is that we see an increased competition. I think everybody has heard about the war for talent. Mm-hmm. McKinsey came out with this book, I think, in the year 2000, and an edited version of that in 2012, where they basically said that, you know, we were right back in 2000, but it was even more extreme than we thought. And the increased competition is due to two things mainly. It's aging population in most countries in the world. So basically, there's not enough younger people to fill the holes that the retiring people are leaving behind them. That's one thing. And there's also a much stronger focus on the topic in itself. So more and more companies are out there marketing themselves as employers. There's also an increased focus on matching a company's culture and value with the talent. So talent or young people in general are more and more aware of their own beliefs, their own, you know, bigger purpose in life, perhaps, and are trying to find the best possible match with the company. So so that means that companies basically have to get out there and talk about themselves in a softer way. And thirdly, there's a financial reason. So several studies that we've seen, and including Boston Consulting Group, have shown that companies that invest in employer branding, that they benefit from as much as 3.5 higher revenue growth and as much as 2.5 profit margin increases. So there's a very clear financial case there as well. And you know, in short, companies that invest in employer branding will be more profitable, will be more successful.
Okay, great. And just to clarify, you mentioned in your intro that you also you do recruitment marketing training, your academy. What's the difference between employer branding and recruitment or HR marketing?
There's so many different terms in this industry, isn't
it? But
and I think we're all confused about it. But my view on this is that employer branding, or perhaps employer brand management, as it's more and more called these days, is long-term, meaning the long-term effort to create a brand position that attracts and retains the right talent. So it's basically a company with a very clear notion of what we want to be perceived as 3 years down the road, because if we are perceived as that, that will help us attract the people, that will help us grow our business. That's the long-term employer brand management, over 3 years or 5 years even. Recruitment marketing is much more short-term. It's about executing on that employer brand, but with a full focus on driving increased number of quality candidates, basically. So it's very linked to classical recruitment, but it's adding the employer branding on top of that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and is HR marketing the same as recruitment marketing?
I'm not even sure what HR marketing means, but I think it may be more recruitment marketing, yes.
Yeah, I've noticed it's a term that's used in Germany and the DACH region.
And yeah. I still try to understand it.
Yeah. Okay. Right. And what's a step-by-step guide to success with employer branding?
Well, I can let you know five steps as I see it. Mm-hmm. And the first and perhaps the most important step is to understand the business objectives. So basically understanding where my company is heading, you know, what are the biggest drivers for our future business plan? What's going to make our company grow, be more profitable, whatever it is that we have in our business plan? What are those drivers? And then it's understanding the target groups that are most important to deliver on those business objectives. After that, it's as the third step, it's to set the EVP, as we call it, which is the employee value proposition, basically the promise that we make to future and current members of staff, as well as setting my KPIs, my key performance indicators, what I'm going to measure everything against. As the fourth step, it's to set your creative strategy. So basically the visual identity, perhaps the creative idea that you have that you want to bring out there to your when marketing yourself externally, as well as defining your communication mix. Which channels will do the job for me? Do I need to get out there and drive awareness or consideration or preference or whatever it is? So communication mix is there as well. And the fifth step is to execute on all of these plans and to follow up by using very careful metrics, continuously using data.
And along these five steps, where do you see companies getting it wrong? Where are some of the pitfalls along the journey?
I would say it's two areas. First of all, it's that you don't spend enough time understanding the business. Mm. Typically, because this is done by HR, HR perhaps don't have all that knowledge and they don't spend the time in understanding it or going to ask somebody that can tell them about these long-term drivers for the company. So that's one of the traditional pitfalls I would see. Second one is about the target groups, that very many companies are way too vague in their definition of their target groups. They talk about engineers in general or you know, business people in general. They don't dare perhaps to be narrow it down and to be much more segmented. And that, then you end up with, you know, campaigns or messaging that appeals to no one really, because you haven't made the effort of narrowing it down to the people that you really, really need and that really, really match you.
Okay, great. And if we look at the type of companies that tend to have good employer brands, I'm thinking well-known consumer brands will have an advantage here. Which ones will they be? And also, which ones tend not to have good employer brands? So is there a pattern there?
Well, you know, unlike perhaps general belief, I would say that companies with a strong consumer brand have a disadvantage, actually, because they would attract a lot of people for the wrong reasons. They would attract a lot of people based on the consumer marketing that they do.
Yes.
Take a cool company like Adidas, for instance, who has a, you know, very fancy image in the minds of consumers who buy their shoes and clothes and what have you. And you think you're going to come there and work only with cool marketing. And that's true to an extent, but what they really need is logistics people. You know, they need R&D people and all of these things. And they are obviously struggling with finding these type of people. So the ones that really have a benefit are actually the ones that don't have a consumer brand. So the B2B companies, and you typically find them in the professional services industry. They have been working on with employer branding for decades. So the likes of, you know, the big fives, for instance, EY, PwC, those type of companies, or the big strategy consultants, McKinsey, BCGs, because for them, people is what they sell, obviously. So for them, it's natural to focus on this. And they can be very much about, they don't have to be disturbed by their consumer brand. They can focus entirely on their employer brand, which is as important to them as normal consumer, or in their case, client marketing.
Right. Okay. Interesting. And if we look at the evolution of employer branding, where have you seen it heading over the last few years?
Well, over the past 5 years that I've spent at the university, I've seen a number of things. I mean, I've seen an increased interest from top management, very dramatic increase, I would say, simply because, you know, the notion of talent being one of the key competitive advantages that you can have now and in the future has become very clear even to top management. So an increased interest from them. Increased digitalization, of course. You know, social media has changed everything when it comes to marketing in general, but also when it comes to employer branding. There's an increased focus on insights and data, definitely. So with all these options and all these, you know, possibilities, and I need to be much more precise in who I target, I need more data to understand what they think of me and what I should be communicating to them. And we also see that there's an increase in influences from consumer marketing. So we see the whole employer branding industry mimicking to a certain degree what happens in consumer marketing.
And which this leads me nicely onto my next question, William. What do you think are the upcoming trends for employer branding if you look in the next 3 to 5 years? And be careful now, because people will judge you on this.
I know. It's always dangerous, isn't it, when you are to predict something. I'm much more comfortable predicting things 20 years into the future, but okay. One thing that we already see is purpose-driven brands. Mm-hmm. Everybody talks about that today. You know, how can we find the answer to the question why we do what we do? So we see companies doing that, you know, trying to come out with something that appeals not only to the brain perhaps of talent, but also to the heart, something that is much more engaging. So purpose-driven brands is something that we'll see more and more. But we'll also see much more holistic employer branding. With that, I mean companies looking at employer branding from an employee experience point of view, meaning that, you know, we make a promise as an employer that this is who we are and what we deliver and what we expect of you. And we put that out, and the first time anybody hears about that is perhaps at university. And then somebody applies to us, and they come through the candidate experience, and then they join us, and they onboard, and they work with us for 3 or 4 years, and then they exit, and they end up in the alumni program and so forth. All of these different things are different touch points. And when we talk about employee experience, we want that employer brand or the EVP to basically exist in every touch point that I just talked about. So it's about looking at the whole experience and making sure that we don't have any red flags, that we're continuously delivering what we said. So much, much bigger thing, really, and a bigger job as well for the people working with employer branding. Third thing that we see is increase in transparency and authenticity. So social media opens up everything, and the likes of Glassdoor and other sites like that mean that companies have to be much more honest about who they are, and they need to be much more honest about not only their positive things but also their negative things. And then digitalization, of course. You know, I don't know what we're going to see next, but obviously we're going to see lots of new things coming out, new social media channels, LinkedIn maybe doing new things, but we'll see other companies popping up as well. And then we'll see more companies trying to link their employer brand to their consumer or corporate brand, trying to leverage the effect of the other.
Right. Okay. So lots happening. And how important is it for professionals to stay updated in this space?
Very important, I think, because, you know, we are living in the information and knowledge society, and we will be doing that for the coming decades. So the talent aspect of business will grow dramatically in importance. I even predict that the second most important person in many companies in a few years will be the chief HRO or the chief talent officer, if you like, because the focus on this topic will be so strong. And a couple of years ago in Davos, in the big meeting in Davos, the chairman there actually stated that talentism is the new capitalism, meaning that companies that have a people strategy that outbeats other companies will have a stronger competitive advantage than perhaps having access to capital or, you know, the right products, what have you.
Right. Okay. And employer brands out there that inspire you, have you got any ones for our listeners to keep an eye on?
Well, there are quite a few out there, I think, that are, and I have to mention it, perhaps they've been mentioned too often, but I have to mention Google. They've done something tremendous over the past 10 years, and it's for the simple reason that they have been entirely focused on people from the get-go. So they've pretty much said that, you know, it doesn't matter what our, you know, product or business strategy is, as long as we get the right people in, you know, we know that we're going to be fine. You can see that today very clearly, that they have a very strong differentiated position. They are the company that is most associated with innovation in the world, so that's very clear for them. They obviously use data a lot as well. Yeah. EY is another one that I think, you know, have been consistently doing a very good job over the past 15, 20 years. And just recently, they also introduced a more purpose-driven brand, saying that building a better working world is what they're all about, which I think is quite inspiring. And the third one I want to point at is a Swedish/UK company called King, or King.com, as they used to be called. They are the producer of Candy Crush Saga, the horrific game. Very, very successful, gone from basically 20 people to around 800 people in only 3 years' time, with obviously with the help of that hit game. What they've done very well is that they've spent almost all their efforts on culture. So they've grown from 20 to 600, 700, 800 people while maintaining a very, very strong culture. So the advocacy at that company is absolutely fantastic. So they basically don't have to do any sort of external employer branding. Their employees are doing the work for them.
Yeah, I mean, they have some spectacular office spaces I've seen.
That helps, of course.
Yeah, and I actually interviewed the employee branding team for this podcast last year.
Oh, you did?
Okay, yeah. Great. Okay, that was my questions. Where can our listeners connect with yourself, Klaus, and where can they find out more about the Employer Branding Academy?
Well, they're more than welcome to go to employerbrandingacademy.com. And if you hear this on this podcast, you can also benefit from a 15% discount by using the promo code LINKHUMANS.
Great. Okay. So, and also, Klaus, where can they find you? On LinkedIn and Twitter?
LinkedIn mainly. Facebook, if you like, as well. I'm a poor Twitterer. That's the word.
Poor tweeter. Okay. And employerbrandingacademy.com. Use the promo code LINKHUMANS for a 15% discount.
That's right.
Klaus Peyrum, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
All right. So I hope you're full of employer branding inspiration after that little chat with Klaus. I should mention that I have done the Employer Branding Academy course myself and I found it very useful. And I'm not just saying that because they are our sponsors, but because I believe it's the best content out there for anyone in the employer branding space. So do check it out for sure. Everything that we discussed and that Klaus mentioned will be in the show notes article. Go to linkhumans.com/podcast and you'll find this article and previous ones on there as well. Now, would your company, brand or product want to be featured on this podcast or maybe yourself? This podcast is available with all purveyors of fine audio content, including iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and other places. And the write-up articles are syndicated to 5 sites, including the LinkHumans blog, of course. Want to team up and make some podcast magic? Get in touch for a full media kit. Just email me at jorgen@linkhumans.com and we will take it from there. Many thanks for tuning in, and I will catch you next week.
I'm not very good with jokes, so I have to steal one from my 10-year-old daughter. And it's this one. Two tomatoes were crossing the road. In the middle of the road, one of the tomatoes was hit by a car. The other tomato then turns to the hit tomato and says, "Come on, ketchup, let's go."